Hallelujah. Turning to 2 Corinthians 3:12. 2 Corinthians 3:12, Paul writing about Moses. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness. It almost doesn't seem to go together. Great plainness. Great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his head, over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there is plainness, there's purity. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Amen. We're changed. We're not what we used to be. Into the same image from glory, that is the glory that Moses had in the Old Testament, to glory, which was the glory that Christ brought, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Wow, I'm changed by His Spirit. That's what I'm telling you. A rod won't change you, but the Spirit will. I want to talk a little while tonight about discovering who you really are. Who you really are. Lord, open up our eyes that we may see. Open up our ears that we may hear. Open up our hearts to feel what you have for us tonight. For truly, God, I believe even under the sound of my voice in this church, there are yet people who have really not discovered who they are. And they need to find out along the way what you have in store for them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, God's got something for you. Did you know that? He's got something for you because the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has in store for them that love Him. And so He's got things in store for you, but He's waiting for you to find out who you are, because if you don't find out who you are, you will misuse the things He has in store for you. But when you find out who you are, then He can hand you what He wants you to have, and you will do with what He has, you will do His will and not yours. But you must find out who you are. Even Christ, knowing who He was, went even to Gethsemane and prayed for a way of escape, right? But He knew who He was, for He said, "For this purpose came I into this world. So nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He knew who He was. I don't know at what point He did, but we know at 12 He did. For at 12 He said, "I must be up and about my Father's business." So even at 12, He knew who He was. And His mother knew who He was when He turned the water into wine. She knew enough about Him to tell those other people, "Whatsoever He says, just do it. I know Him well enough to know it's going to work, so just do it." And so I want to help you tonight, and I wish I could preach to everybody sometimes, to help you find out who you really are. And we live in a society, I'm telling you, used to people got them a tattoo when they got in the Navy. You know, they had my tattoo, you know. Now people are getting tattoos on their body so much you can't even see their body. And the reason they're doing that is because they don't know who they are. They're trying to get attention from various places to try to build their identity as to who they are. So they don't feel identifiable, so therefore they put things on them to be identified by. And that's what people who don't know who they are, they start creating things to be identified by. So I want you not to have to create things to be identified by. I want you to be your own identity. Amen. And God can use you when you find out who you are. And there's too many people that have not yet discovered. They've not discovered who they really are. And until you discover who you are, you will never be who you are supposed to be. And so I want to kind of look at this word discover. Believe it or not, this word discover is used quite often in the Bible, normally relating to like nakedness being discovered. What that means is something is uncovered. Okay, so when you discover cover something, that means to uncover it. Right? So when you watch Discovery Channel, what they're showing you is things that have been uncovered. They're showing you things that you didn't recognize or could not readily see with the eye. It wasn't readily apparent. And so when you uncover some things, you discover some things. And so I want to talk about discovering who you are. And you'll only discover who you are when you uncover some things about yourself. And it will become apparent to you who you are. And if we're not careful, many times you discover who you are and you don't like who you are, so you cover back up who you are so you can disguise yourself so no one discovers who you are. Did you catch that? So you don't want them to discover you. You've discovered you, but you don't want them to know. So you put the covering back on, you put a cover on, so they don't discover. And you have not deceived anybody, really, but yourself. And God is looking for people who have uncovered once they discovered who they were. And I wish that sometimes that we would be diligent about searching ourselves. The truth is, sometimes you uncover things accidentally. You were just dusting one day, and as you was dusting, you found grandma's recipe to the chicken and dumplings. You say, oh, look, I discovered this, you know. And it was there, but it wasn't apparent. And maybe you were changing some books and rearranging books, and you say, oh, here's my daddy's will. Oh, let's see what it says. And you discovered something, you know. And so sometimes you discover things. That's one reason. My mom's been on Ancestry.com. I don't go on Ancestry.com. I might discover something. Yeah, you might discover your grandpa wasn't your grandpa. You never know, you see. But once you start uncovering things, you start discovering things. You understand what I'm trying to teach you tonight? And so people don't usually discover things unless they begin to explore, right? And you've heard of Lewis and Clark, anybody? Lewis and Clark? Well, then what did they do? What did they discover? I think they went up the Mississippi, huh? Yeah, they went up the Mississippi, didn't they? Or down the Mississippi? I don't know what they did. But I know this, Ponce de Leon never discovered the Fountain of Youth, even though he went to Florida looking for it. Yeah, he's still looking. And I know that people that want to find gold, that you don't just go out there and find gold, lay, oh, here's some gold, and put that in my pocket, I'm going to bring that and get me some money for that gold. That's not what happens. They have what they call explorers. They're people that are willing, they're patient, they will carefully uncover things. They go through a lot of earth, they relentlessly turn things over, rocks and things like that. They continuously sift the sand and the water and all this kind of stuff that they might discover some traces of gold. It don't just lay there. They have to uncover some stuff, dig and excavate some things. I'm sure, brother, you operated a backhoe and a bobcat for me. I'm sure you hit some things you didn't know were there. And you uncovered it. But you would have never known it was there, and you'd never discovered it until you uncovered it. And then you can cover it back up if you want to and hide it. That's where I'm going with it. Because if you're not careful, now you want to hide what you have discovered. So today, if you just realize that there are so many ways in this society we live in to discover things, there's something, you heard Brother Cercello's testimony, that was so funny, wasn't it? He discovered Sister Ruth when he in going on the internet. You can discover a lot of things on the internet, but I'm afraid too many times, even with all the books that they are out there, you know, the Facebooks and all this kind of stuff, you discover things that you really don't need to discover. And I'm not preaching against any of those things. I'm preaching how you use those things. And too many times we're trying to search for things on other people when we need to search our own heart. And if we spend as much time trying to find out what other people are doing and spent that time trying to find out what our heart is like and uncover who we really are, because when you uncover other people's identity and you uncover them, you haven't helped yourself at all. Tearing other people down never lifts you up. And so sometimes I'm afraid if we spend more time in this book than the other book, we would explore our own heart and find out exactly where we stand with God and not where somebody else stands in society and things like this. And people spend too much time looking at other people and not enough time looking at themselves. And Jesus told these hypocrites, you spend all this time saying, look, he's got a splinter in his eyes. He said, you can't even see to get it out because you got a beam in yours. Haven't you discovered that? How are you going to help them when you have this in your eyes? And so I want to talk to you about leaving other people alone and work on yourself. And Jesus called those people hypocrites. Hypocrites. Be careful you don't become a hypocrite. And hypocrites are not just people that come and raise their hands and say, praise God, they're not living for God. You can be phony in a lot of ways. It doesn't even pertain to living for God. And so discovering who you are will take some exploration. I don't care how old you are this morning or this evening, because there are people that wake up at 50 and 60, and some people never find out who they really are. But I am telling you, we need to discover, we need to explore, we need to turn some things over. No wonder David said, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked thing inside of me. I'm ready to uncover it. Because I'm going to meet it down the road. I'm ready to deal with it now. I don't know about you, but when I face problems, tomorrow's not a good day for me to deal with them. Today's a good day for me to deal with them, because I don't want to worry about it tomorrow. And so anytime people feel threatened, what do? They desire to cover up. And you'll never find your God-given identity by covering up. Covering up the truth is never a good thing. The Bible says covering up sin will not work. Why? Be sure your sins will find you. They will find you out. So covering things up is not what you want to do. You want to uncover them. And anytime people feel threatened, they desire to cover up. Anytime they feel jeopardized about anything, they want to hide. Adam and Eve is our first example. Let's go back to the garden. As soon as their nakedness was discovered, they wanted to cover it. Yes, they were hiding among the trees of the garden. Why? Because they discovered their nakedness. Now, let's cover it so no one else discovers it. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not playing games with you. I'm not here to act like something I'm not. Because the Bible tells us, and we'll talk about it, he sees everything. He sees everything just as if it was naked. And so tonight, if I told you there was a bomb coming, or you would seek shelter. I would hope you wouldn't go out there and say, well, where? I don't see no bomb coming. I don't see any bomb. You would go, you know, you would hide. You'd want something to cover you. And in times of shooters and things, they say, take cover. Take cover. And so we just have this nature of hiding when we don't want to face something. It doesn't matter what it is. When we don't want to face something, we have the tendency to try to avoid it, hiding by avoiding it. And I'm like the little saying, come out wherever you are, because it's going to find you. And I don't like to be bothered with things that I'm covering up. Anytime you cover up something, you're bothered by it. You're bothered by it. Because you have to keep covering it up. But I want to declare to you tonight that Jesus said that everything that is covered shall be revealed, and everything that is hid shall be made known. So in the end, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. In the end, he sees it the way it is. But in the end, everything you covered will be uncovered. So let's reveal it now. That's what repentance is, right? Confession is uncovering it, right? Repentance is when you say, I'm sorry for I did this. And you're uncovering it so that he can put his covering over it, his blood, and protect you. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. Once that was discovered, they covered. He took their covering off and put his covering on. Okay. People many times hide behind all kinds of things. Nice, pretty smile. They'll fancy, glittering clothes. They'll hide behind fancy jewelry and pearly white smile. Look how white my teeth are. And people hide behind falsehoods and lies. And people hide behind pride and arrogance. And people hide behind anger. They hide behind being loud. They hide behind being boisterous and all these kinds of things. But I want to tell you something. You're only playing the fool in front of God. because he sees you just like you are. But people many times, when they're hiding something, you call me a what? You know, they're going to bow up to you because they're hiding something. People that bow up are usually got something to hide. So we have to be careful that we don't hide things. I want to know who I am. And then I don't want to cover it up to make it look like I'm something I'm not. I wrote a little note here. It's just a note that DuPont made something called Teflon. You women remember Teflon? Weren't you glad when Teflon came out? You remember how it used to stick to the iron, whatever you cooked, and you'd scrape. Teflon come out, and you just flip it like this, you know? But underneath that Teflon was still an iron skillet. And underneath Revlon is still skin. It doesn't matter. Whatever you put onto something, it's still underneath it. It's still what it is. And so we have to be careful that underneath laughter and underneath acting joking and talking loud is a silent, many times bleeding, crying heart. And you're still hiding that when you need to be open with it, not only with God, but with your brothers and sisters. To hide something from me is not what you want to do. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you or condemn you. Even Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. And that's exactly what I'm here to do as well. And I told my wife after the sermon Sunday, I said, you know, I realize that anytime anybody is the head of something, they should always make decisions based upon the rest of the body and not themselves. But when the head makes decisions based upon what they want to do and how they feel and all this kind of stuff, it hurts the body. But as the head of the church, you see, I don't make decisions about myself, about this church, even the relocation of it. If I want to relocate, I put it by my house and maybe have more people. But I'm looking to the future of this church and where I want to relocate it. So when I'm dead and gone, this church will still be going and hopefully better than it is now. The head must make decisions about the body. And not for itself, because the day it starts doing that is the day the body starts suffering. And so many times underneath all this facade that we put on is somebody that's got a broken heart and a broken situation, and they're having to cover it up with smiles and laughter and all these kind of things, when that they would just be honest and just uncover it before God and before man, that they realize that the church, your brothers and sisters, are here to help you through your struggles. Church is one of the phoniest places there is, because we come here many times to hide because we don't want anybody to know we're struggling. We don't want anybody to know that inside of me I'm really hurting. I have to act like I'm blessed, when in fact you don't feel so blessed. And so I wanted to help you tonight to find your true identity. You know, it hurts to hide. It hurts to hide. I remember in kids, we'd go hide, and I was so glad they found me. I was all cramped up, you know, and hiding. I'll never forget one time we were deer hunting, and my brother was with me, and I had a lease, and we had a box blind we haven't yet placed yet, Brother Constance, just a blind on four steels. We just set it there, and it was up about 8 feet. We just set it there, right in the middle of the road almost, back in the woods on the middle of the road. And he and I were riding around, and we stopped right in front of that blind. For some reason, we stopped to talk. We were both on four wheels. We stopped and we started talking. And after a while, I saw a head come up in that blind. And I looked up there, and there were two boys. There was no chair. They were squatting in that blind. And we talked so long, they couldn't hide anymore. They were hurting, and they were cramping, and they finally got up. And I said, what are you doing in that blind up there, you know? And I started chewing on them, and I had to repent. I did, because I said, y'all come down out here. What are you doing on this lease? And Mike knows how I can be sometimes. Not because of him. He's just seen that if you take me too far, I've gone too far. And so I was chewing him out. And I said, who is your daddy? He said, I don't know. I don't know who my daddy is. I live with my mama. I said, okay. Where's your mama live? I said, well, she lives over in that house. I said, who's your daddy? He said, well, I live with my mama too, and my daddy lives in Alexandria or something. Man. I said, well, y'all be careful today. Try not to come back on my property. You know, it softened me. You know, hiding is hard. And they were hiding. And now they're hiding. They don't have fathers. They don't have fathers. They're hiding behind those things. And sometimes you and I, if we're not careful, we'll hide. And it's a painful thing to have to hide and cover up. It's painful, and it takes a lot of effort. It's exhausting to keep hiding and keep hiding and keep hiding when it would just be easier. I've already read you scripture where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. There's no hiding. In Him is no darkness, and in Him is no shadow of turning. There's no gray area in terms of, well, I'm going to hide here. No, there's a shadow here. You don't hide. You just are open. And I like the old saying, what you see is that's what you get. And so if you could just discover this, you understand that? Discover. You could just discover and come to a time in your life when you're ready to uncover the contents of your heart and what's really inside of you and walk into a new identity of who God wants you to be and forget about the old person you used to be. For the Bible says when we come to Christ, we become what kind of creature? A new creature. We have a new identity. We're not the same person we used to be. And some people want to do this change really slow so nobody notices. That's not for me. You hear me? That's not for me. I am a radical person when it comes to that. I believe people that are willing to change and know they should change right now. And it's over with. It's like going to get in the swimming pool when it's cold. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You'll never get in. You'll never get in. But if you jump in, you're in. You're in. And so I still believe in the old school when it comes to changing. If you know what you need to change, change it. If you don't know what you need to change, that's one thing. But when you know what you need to do, do it. And the problem is that people have covered up for so long and so long, they have so many layers of things that they covered up with, that changing is so abrupt, they're fearful to do it. They're fearful to do it because they're afraid of what people will say or think. You see, there's where you know things are wrong. When you worry about what other people will say or think, you know that that's not right. Now, I understand we should be of a good report for all men, but I'm talking about when you are doing the right thing and you're worried about what people will say, then you know you're wrong. And so what God wants you to do is to walk in your God-given identity. And I want to talk a little bit about Moses because that's where our text scripture came from. Moses grew up where? In the house of Pharaoh. Moses played with the Egyptian toys, right? That's what he did. While our kids were playing with Tinker Toys and Tyco blocks, he was playing and stacking pyramids. You know, it was not easy because he was not really an Egyptian, but yet he was. But he had the identity, and I'm going to show you this. He had the identity of being an Egyptian. He drank their water, he ate their food, he went to their schools, he knew all the land, he had the finest everything you could have living in the palace, if you will, with the Pharaoh. He looked like an Egyptian, he acted like an Egyptian, but there was something in Moses' heart that was not an Egyptian. And God didn't want him to walk in the identity of an Egyptian all his life because he couldn't use him with that identity. He had to change who he presented himself to the world to be. Because you are who you present yourself to people. They identify you by how you present yourself. I've said many times, if I've said to people that's maybe moved or gone to another church, I said, look, they always wanted to be a shouter. They always wanted to be a dancer. And they never were. They said, I just never could do it, but I want to be. I said, well, when you get to that church, first night they have service, start dancing, start shouting. And they'll see you as that. If you wanted your hair parted on the left, you've been on the right all this time, when you get there, part it on the left. Part it on the other side. So they see you as that when they see you the first time. That's how people identify you. And God did not want to use a man that had just the Egyptian identity. Because as long as he was undercover, you catch that? Undercover as an Egyptian, he would never become the man that God wanted him to be. So the real identity of Moses was not discovered until he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite fighting. And as they fought, his heart went with the Israelite and instead of the Egyptian. So what happened? Moses killed the Egyptian and he did what? Covered him. And when he covered him, he uncovered who he was. He now discovered who he was. And when he discovered it, so did everybody else because he said, this thing is out. It is known. I got to get out of here. And rather than staying and hiding in the Egyptian, somewhere in the land of Egypt, he fled. He fled. And where did he flee to? He fled to the land where the Midianites were. And there he sits. The Bible says that he sits on a well. He's not hiding. I want to talk to you tonight. He's not hiding. In the land of Midian, he is who he is. He sits on a well as Moses. But up comes seven daughters of a Midian priest who see him there. And he begins to give them water. Well, while he's giving them water, here comes some shepherds who wants to drive away the seven Midianite priest's daughters. And Moses withstood them. See, that character was coming out. He withstood that Israelite. Now he's withstanding them because that's not who he really was. His identity was being shown. He was free to be who he was. And he drove them away. Now listen close to this. He drove them away. So the little ladies go home and the daddy says, how did you get back so soon? How did you get this water as quick as you got it? They said, oh, there's this Egyptian man. We met an Egyptian man. He said, really? Bring him to me. Because Egyptians don't do that. Bring him to me. You see, even though they saw him as an Egyptian, his heart wasn't like an Egyptian. And so they bring him to Moses, and he found favor with this man, and guess what? Married his daughter. What am I trying to tell anybody? I don't know where our singles are, but if you just be who you are, God would send you somebody. See, when he became who he really was, God sent him somebody. But as long as he's acting like he's something he really wasn't. Now, if you are who you are and you hadn't got anybody yet, well, I'm not preaching to you. Okay? So don't make me your enemy. I'm just saying what the scripture says. When he sat down at the well, he was not hiding. They said he was an Egyptian. But when he came in, they found out he was an Israelite indeed. And he got married to one of his daughters and worked for his pop-in-law. Got a job too. My goodness. And in the land of Midian, he was free to be Moses. He was free to be the shepherd. He was free to be who he really was. Instead of being over there riding in a chariot, smiling at everybody and waving, when that wasn't him. You see, people that drive big fancy cars and wear all this fancy jewelry and wear these fancy clothes, they don't go to the barn dance to find somebody. They want somebody like who they are. But what they don't realize, they're going to find some joker just like them. Just as deceitful as they are, they're going to find somebody over there. So you don't deceive anybody, you just deceive yourself because you receive what you meet out, you get back. And so anyway, that's you singles, if you just go sit on a well somewhere and be who you are. But I am telling you, just be who you are. And if you're not who you need to be who you should be. I got to get off of that. So anyway, he ends up marrying this daughter of this man. And Moses' true identity comes to light. And there comes a time, my brothers and sisters, that you must uncover in faith. Faith is uncovered. Now faith is some things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. Faith is to uncover with hope. Because there's no evidence that it's going to happen. So by faith, the Bible says, Moses refused to be called. When Moses came of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're not calling me that anymore. That's not who I am. And when he decided that I'm not going to be called that anymore, then he had a choice. And what did he choose? I'd rather suffer, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God, to the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for season. I'd rather be who I am and be broke than to be who I'm not and be rich. Because when you are who you are, you can come out of hiding and be free. There's nothing better than liberty. Nothing. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ. The reproach of Christ the reproach of who you are. Is anybody under reproach? Sure you are. There's people reproach me all the time. All the time. They're reproaching. They're always a reproach. The reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of God's reward. For he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who was invisible. That's faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has anybody seen God? No. He's not hiding behind any door. He just can't be seen. He's invisible. Christ was his covering. Christ was the manifestation of God in the flesh. So I'm just asking you tonight to forsake who you are not so you could become who God wants you to become. And when you become who God wants you to become, then God begins to give you things you never dreamed would happen. But as long as you stay covered, then he's not doing it. Somebody this evening, story could change immediately. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe somebody gets the CD. But it could change immediately if they would just discover. If they would just be who they really are. And you might say, well, I don't like who I really am. It's harder to be who you're not than it is to be who you really are. And so if we look at the scripture, Paul is writing to an affluent group of Christians in the Corinthian church. And he says in our text scripture, he says, I'm speaking to you with great plainness of speech. Great plainness of speech. I'm being real open. For in one place he said, I don't come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm not coming to impress you. I'm coming to get you out of what you're in. And truly, that's what deliverance is, right? That's what deliverance is getting you out of what you're in. And so Moses, when he was had been with the Lord, he put a veil over his face because he covered his face because the brightness would shine and the glory of God was so bright that they couldn't look upon him steadfastly to the end of what really was God was trying to bring to them. And so he had this veil. And so he says to this Corinthian church that if you're not careful, the veil is still there over your heart. And you're not turning to Christ so that you can become what he wants you to be because you're not open with him. He said he took the veil away. He took the veil away. You don't have to hide anything from God. He wants you just like you are. And he said, we go before him with this open face. Verse 18 of chapter 3. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. We're changed into the image, into the same image, from glory to glory. Sometimes people say, you know, you and Sister Martha started looking like y'all lived so long together. You know, you just keep looking at each other, you start looking like it, each other. If you would just keep looking into that mirror of Christ, and you would see, as James says, at first you're going to see yourself. He said, don't be just a hearer word, but be a doer word. For if a man looks at himself in a mirror and he walks away, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. You never changed. That's discovering it and recovering it. Am I helping anybody tonight? So as they come tonight, I just believe it's time that you and I be honest. Just be honest. One thing I hate to deal with is dishonest people. Dishonesty is very difficult to deal with because I don't know when you are honest if you're dishonest. And we need to create an identity of that's an honest man. That's a truthful man. You can trust that man. Let me tell you, I've never seen her. You need to create that kind of identity. That flashiness, that man, he's got it, he's loaded. That's not the identity you need to have. You need to have an identity. Even the Bible talks about a woman should not dress with that which is of gold and pearls and costly array. Why? Because that becomes her identity. Did you see what she had on? Same thing with a man. It's no different. But he said it should be that of a meek and a quiet spirit, so that the attraction is not the woman, it's the God of the woman. It's what's inside that person that's beautiful. A meek and a quiet spirit can't be seen on clothing and on your body. But a meek and a quiet spirit projects Christ. Wow. I'm telling you what. I have a lot of repenting to do at times before I preach to you, because I want to be so transparent. Ever since I've pastored this church, you know I've tried to let y'all know I don't hide anything from you. I don't hide anything from you. And if I did, it'd be for your own good and not for mine. There's got to come a time that you uncover. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of willpower. But as long as a Christian stays covered and they stay protected, I'll never forget. You know, we've all been hurt. Amen? Everybody been hurt? And when you get hurt, you know, when you cut yourself, you put a Band-Aid on it. Anytime you get hurt, you want to cover it. And one time I got hurt, and all I wanted to do was cover it. Cover it. And I went to church one night at a different church, and I just went. You'd see me come, you'd see me go. See my headlights when I got there, you'd see my taillights when I go. And that was it, because I was covering. Why was I covering? But then one day, a man named Tracy Young said, "Hey, I want to go to lunch with you." I said, "Okay." So he took me to lunch. And we talked about fishing and hunting and all that kind of stuff. And we drove back to the office, and he put it in park. And I got ready to open the door. He said, "Stop." He said, "You got a wall up." I could feel them little tears. I said, "Yeah, I do. You're right." He said, "I want inside that wall. And the only way I'm going to get inside of it is if you let me in." When you let people in, you get exposed again, right? I had to uncover. I had to uncover. Because I'd never be your pastor if I stayed covered. I'd never be usable in the kingdom of God if I stayed covered. Vulnerable don't feel good. Being vulnerable doesn't feel good. But I've realized you can't do anything for God. Brother, you can't teach Sunday school without somebody saying something they don't like about you. You just might as well get used to it. You know? And Brother Jake, you know, they're going to say something about you whether you do anything or not. They'll say something about you couple, you coming over here. They've got some people saying stuff about y'all. You know, you might as well get used to it. But you'll never do anything for God if you stay covered. You know what I had to do? Here's the scar. Here's the wound. Do you still like me? Do you still want me? It wasn't until Jesus went in the room of 12 or 11 scared disciples and he uncovered. He said, "Here's my wounds." And when they saw his wounds, they rejoiced. They rejoice, for he was alive. But unless you and I are willing to be vulnerable again, we will never do anything. So I'm calling people out of hiding. I'm calling people out to be vulnerable again. And you know what? You may get hurt again, but you know what? You learn how to handle it better every time it happens. You get more sure-footed in what you're doing. And you don't let it affect you like it did the first time or maybe the second time. Because God can't use you in hiding. Amen? All right, let's stand tonight. It's time for you to discover who you are and don't cover it back up. God wants you just like you are. And he'll work on it and improve you every day.
Draw me close to you.
Hallelujah.